Welcome. We've had a great time of fellowship, being able to sing to God and worship Him. And it's so good, just on a Sunday morning where it's rainy, it's not looking good out there, that we can have an encouraging time here together with the saints worshiping God. So today is Vision Sunday, and I have the honor today of unveiling our vision for the path. But first, just a few housekeeping items. As you know, we love to share our faith on social media. So let's say hello to our Facebook family. Say hello, Facebook. And let's take out our phones. Let's share the live stream. For our MLK Sunday service, we've had over 3,000 views. And then last week, 60-something shares, over 1,500 views, and I wasn't even here. So that's a big sign. I heard Mike did a good job, and I guess we have bought in. So thank you. That's a great sign. We have some encouraging events that are coming up as well. So today is our Vision Sunday. After church, we'll have our Pathways meeting, and that's just a time for all people who new members from 2017 on, or those who are interested in becoming members, can come and find out more about the church. So we talk about our past, present, and future, where we've been, where we are now, and where we are going. So it'll be from 11:45 to 12:45 in one of these classrooms back here by the children's ministry. And as we talked about at midweek, we will start our three-day fast, which will begin sundown tonight and go through sundown on Wednesday night. Hope you've been thinking about and praying about what kind of fast or the things you want to abstain from during these 3 days. And then next Sunday, we will have our kickoff service for our new series on heaven. And Mike gave us a book recommendation called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. If you have not gotten it, I encourage you to do so. And it's even better on the audio book because that thing is like 3,017 pages. So, you know, Mike is such a scholar. You know, he's trying to take us to the next level. I said, audible.com. Okay, I'm going to listen to this on the plane. But it has been so encouraging to be able to listen about heaven. And I look forward to preaching on that next week, that God has set eternity in the hearts of all people. Let's give out those flyers, invite as many people as possible to come check us out. And then next Sunday is our kickoff service, but it's also our Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. So Patriots and Eagles, and we will pray for the sinful New England fans. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we are humbled to be before you. We honor you this morning. We pray you are pleased with our worship, God. Pray that as you are here with us today, that you will be pleased with our hearts, God, and that you will call us higher, Lord, and you will help us to become more like Jesus. Please reveal to us individually and as a church the things you want us to grow in. God, the things you want us to build convictions on, Lord. And I pray that you will lead me in this way, Father, that I may preach your word powerfully, God, through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These things life can throw at you, but the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say, me too, again. Thank you.
The speech heard from coast to coast. The speech that made her a presidential candidate. I mean, America wanted to elect Oprah as commander-in-chief on the spot. Why? Why? Because she was able to give people hope through giving them vision. You know, any inspirational leader is able to speak to the challenges and the reality of our lives, of this world, and then give people hope that it can be better. Now, Oprah, praise God, that sister has some incredible dreams and incredible vision where nobody ever has to say me too again. Now, the reality is that's only going to happen in heaven. So what she did was just told everybody, just get ready for heaven, because that's the only time it's going to happen. But the fact that we can just hear somebody say, we can do this. We can be better as a people. Man, it made an impact across the country and across the world. Today, I want to communicate our vision for the Path Church. Help us understand how each of us can do our part to help that vision become a reality. But before we look forward, I do want us to look backwards a little bit. And Keegan talked about our fondest memories. So I hope we are able to think about that, share those. If you have not written those down, please write down those thoughts in your journal, type it up in your phone. I want us to remember that as we go on with our sermon today. Our fondest memories being a part of this church. You know, a couple of months ago, we got together to brainstorm about our vision. We got together to brainstorm about our strengths and our challenges, opportunities for growth. And since that moment, we've gotten a lot of input, prayed, discussed a lot with the leadership team as a staff. And really, we're praying about, God, we just want to put this in a sentence, in a statement that will be clear for all of us to understand, and that it'll be inspirational. As we were thinking and praying about that, as many of you know, I'm in the middle of a 40-day fast that started before, it started December, the end of December, December 22nd. We'll finish off January 31st. And also during that time, I'm abstaining from social media. As many of you know, I've just been praying for healing. I've just been asking God as well, just for clarity. I just want to hear his voice, to be led by his spirit, to keep in step with his spirit. And so I tell you right now, anything that I'm going to share today and anything that may inspire you, anything, vision, faithful things that I share, let me tell you, it is God. Because last year, the end of last year was rough. But God himself has been healing me and strengthening me and putting new dreams in our hearts. And for that, I am so grateful. So during the holiday break, I'm thinking about this vision, and literally one night I dream about this vision, right? This vision statement. And I wake up, and I mean, just as clear as day, God puts it on my heart. And I said, man, I got to write this down before I forget. And so I write it down. In the morning, I wake up, I tell my wife, man, she loves it. Come home, I tell the staff, we talk about the elders. We shared it with the leaders, the volunteer team coordinators workshop, and the excitement has been across the board, and I'm honored to be able to share it with you today. Vision statement for the Path: to create churches that mobilize the next generation. To create churches that mobilize the next generation. To create churches, what does that mean? What I mean by that is we're about creating spiritual communities of disciples who are living out Acts 2, 42 through 47. And that's where we see the blueprint of the church. And it's, some people in this room have already heard this probably twice. And repetition is a good thing, amen? And that is on purpose. Hopefully you will get something else from it today. But Acts 2:42 really talks about the blueprint of the first church, and that is what we are trying to model. It talks about the devotion, how they were all devoted, not just the leaders, not just certain spiritual people, but they were all devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to communion, and to prayer. It says that everyone was filled with awe. So as I like to say, church was awesome. Miracles were happening. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were united. Selling their stuff, they gave to everyone who had need. They were sacrificial. Everyone continued to meet together. They were committed. And they had dinner parties, enjoying the favor of God and all the people. Them folks loved to party. They had a blast. They had fun along the way. I hope that our Christian lives, though it may be some storms, I hope that they can be fun as well. I think that's what God wants from us. And what happened? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost, and then daily, boom, 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 new souls being saved, new souls being added to God's church. So how did these churches get started? Look over in Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at the book of Acts a little bit this morning and go through several other scriptures. So if you ever have a hard time just following along, just write down the notes, go back over it and study it out. But in Acts chapter 8, in verse 4, we see what happens after the church started suffering from persecution. So we know that Saul, who later became Paul, was kind of the leader in this persecution against the church and the disciples. And so the church started to scatter. And chapter 8, verse 4 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They preached the word wherever they went. That's how the church got scattered. That's how new churches got started. It says that Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Samaritans were half-breeds. They were the interracial couples of Jews and Greeks. They came together, and so they were the mixed babies, all right? Then he goes and he preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch who was there at Jerusalem searching for God. The Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized, and he goes back to Africa and starts preaching the word, and a church in Africa gets started. That's before America, okay? Acts chapter 11, later on in Acts chapter 11, it talks more about those who were scattered. In verse 19, Acts 11, verse 19, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen, one of the disciples, who was a martyr, he was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, radical disciples, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Antioch, the home of the first Gentile church. Non-Jews were becoming Christians. It's where disciples were actually first called Christians, in Antioch, Christ ones. And it's where Paul was trained and sent out to create more churches. Antioch was powerful, an incredible pillar in this time as the church grew. And it all started by a few disciples, nameless disciples. All we know is that they were from Cyprus and Cyrene. That's all we know about them, who decided to preach the word wherever they went. I believe that's our calling as disciples now, 2,000 years later. And as we strive to create churches, the only way they're going to get started is by us preaching the word wherever we go. At our jobs, in our neighborhoods, at our schools, right? At PTA meetings, online, on social media. Is that part of what we do on a daily basis? Sharing the gospel? Sharing about the most important thing in our lives, our relationship with God? That's how we'll see a revolution. And that's how we've seen a revolution already in the past. And it's not about bad churches and good churches. We got to create new churches because those churches ain't doing it. Listen, I thank God for all the churches that are trying to do what's right. Thank you, God. Bless their pastors. Bless everybody who serves. But I found out that different churches have different niches. And if we all embrace the strengths God has given us, then as a body, a universal body, we can be more effective for God. So it's not about bad churches and good churches. It's about more churches. Why more churches? Well, I'll give you a spiritual reason. I'll give you the practical reason. One, spiritually, the world is lost. The city is lost. I don't know about you. It doesn't seem like it's getting any better. It seems like it's getting worse, really. Just turn on the news. I don't have to tell you about how bad it can be out there, right? I mean, it's a challenge, right? We see it every day. And so the world doesn't have the answer. Christ has the answer. The world cannot offer eternal hope. Yes, it can offer hope for a moment where no person will ever be able to say me too ever again. Sounds good. But the only way that happens is through an eternal God when we're with him for eternity. God has the answers, and he wants us as the church to give those answers to a world who is just so thirsty for something that is hopeful, thirsty for life, thirsty for what is good and what is eternal. Because at this point, this world does not satisfy. At any point, it didn't satisfy, but man, seems like now more than ever, the need is now. Practically, Atlanta is big. Woo! You talking about you from Atlanta? People talk about they're from Atlanta. They're from Alpharetta. Call that the other A-town. Like, that ain't Atlanta, but that's Metro Atlanta. Atlanta, this Metro Atlanta is so big. And it's amazing. Here in this church, we have people who are members who live as far north as Buford and as far south as Jackson. I mean, from Jackson to Buford, it's like 2 hours. And yet they're here because of the relationships, of the opportunities to really be close to one another and walk in authentic community with each other as we strive to be like Jesus. And I tell people that. I told somebody that at an AND campaign event not too long ago, and she was like, what? You have people that come that far? Because right now the thinking is you have to have church in a community, and only the people in a geographical community will come to church. No, I don't know about you, but sometimes we spend more time with our coworkers in another part of the city than we do with our neighbors. The way I look at community is our network, our hearers. The Bible says our hearers, who's in our circles? Wherever we go, we preach the word. And yes, where we live, we should be building friendships and reaching out to them as well. So we just, and we'll make the sacrifice. We love Jesus and one another. But for those who are coming into the church, it is a challenge to drive a long way sometimes. And so it'll just practically, it'd just be easier to invite somebody to church if it's closer to you, right? I mean, it's just easier that way. So hopefully, my prayer is we can create churches around the city where we have hubs of disciples already. Amen? But in order to create churches, we need church leaders. We need ministers. We need small group leaders. We need volunteer team coordinators. We need missionaries, all types of missionaries, people who are willing to answer the call to go. To go. After all, it is G-O. That is two-thirds of God's name right there. So embrace God's nature. We know Jesus is a missionary, right? He left heaven to go here to earth to come for us. Man, that's how we need to be thinking about. That's what we need to be thinking about. Which leads us to the second part of the vision statement, to create churches that mobilize. Mobilize means to prepare and organize people for active service. This is the send part of our mission, to seek, save, and send, right? To equip people, and it's very biblical. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11 says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One of the reasons that God gave the church spiritual leadership is to equip his people for works of service. Understanding that builds up the church. It unites the church. It helps the church to mature, and it helps us to experience the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's God's plan for us. We will not become a church of consumers. That's not us. Well, I just want to be fed. That ain't going to happen here. That's incomplete. That's false doctrine. You don't just come to church to get fed. You come to church to get fed so that you can be strong and go give and feed other people, right? We want to pour into you so you can pour into others, right? And that's what we are about. And we want you to be able to be equipped to go preach the word, to serve, to be people of influence, not just in the church, but also in your communities, at your jobs, in your neighborhoods, with your families and friends. And we want to help you identify your gifts and be able to help you learn how to grow in those gifts, develop those gifts. And so we're going to devote 3 midweeks in March just to that. So maybe people say, I don't know what's my gift. Well, we're going to help you figure out what your gift is so that you can live out your purpose that God has given you in the most effective way possible. And I just want to encourage, yesterday we had our volunteer team leaders workshop, and it was amazing. So I just want to thank Jason and Brianna. Before we go to our next point, Jason and Brianna, let's thank Jason and Brianna for training us. They trained all the volunteer team coordinators yesterday, and it was amazing to create churches that mobilize the next generation. Go back to our children. To create churches that mobilize the next generation. What does that mean? It means that our focus is to invest in our future. Psalm 78 says this in verse 4. Psalm 78, verse 4, says, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. So it's not even about our children. It's about their children. That's how far ahead we got to be looking. That's how far ahead God was looking. God was saying this message has to keep on going. So yes, it starts with our children, moves on to teenagers, young adults in the world. You know, the next generation also speaks to the next generation of disciples. So as a church, when there's a group of people that are baptized around the same time, that is a generation of disciples who will share a similar experience in their relationship with God. And so physically and chronologically, the next generation, but also spiritually, spiritual generations. When it comes to our children, we want to make sure that we create an environment for them to have the best opportunity possible to become disciples. We can't force it. We can't control them, but we can create an environment to give them the best opportunity possible to become disciples. That starts with equipping parents. We want to help our parents be the best they can be for God so they can lead their children to heaven. And then it's about equipping our those who serve in the children's ministry, making sure this children's ministry has the resources it needs and the people that it needs to come alongside the parents and serve our amazing children, like Ryan and Caitlin, Soleil and Summer, Dylan and Aaron, Grant and Kennedy, all 3 Laylas, both Arias, the Hudson crew, the Liba crew, all the newborns, all that I forgot to mention. Please don't be mad at me. and all those who are yet to come. This is who we're fighting for, church. This is who we're fighting for. And the beautiful thing is we have a track record of helping our kids know Jesus. I mean, you think about Dylan Chisholm, Miles Ventrees. I mean, them going out to college, being great disciples, having a great time, preaching the word, growing in their faith. Others who have gone on to college and are doing great. And even our prodigal sons and daughters who have strayed, but who we believe one day will come back to Jesus. They will come back to their senses, like many of us had to come back to our senses, but will they have a church to come back to? That's what God wants, but it's up to us if we will answer the call. I want them to come back to a vibrant church, a church that is even more stronger than it was before, more faithful and more mature than it was before, so that we can help them when they come back to their senses. Just look at Lexi Patterson. Praise God. Woo, Lord, hallelujah. I would do a praise dance if I knew how to do one. Lexi just was out there. It's come back to God. And you know, Lexi is the type of sister that when she's all in, she is all in. Now, she was all in the world for a while, but now she is all in for God and his church. And she's been doing such an amazing job serving that we hired her as a part-time intern. So she is on as a part-time intern to continue to serve. She's been doing such a great job, and we are honored to have you on the team, Lexi. Then moves on to teenagers and young adults in the world. Now, we look about 16 to 34 as kind of our niche there, where we just, that's just our niche, it's our sweet spot. We love everybody, we want to help everybody. And that's our sweet spot. And many of us, we're educators, and so we know what's going on out there in the world, right? We know what's going on in the schools. As young, I mean, we were at our neighbor's house, and she's a guidance counselor at an elementary school in the city. And she guesstimates, just from her experience, that almost 50% of fifth graders, by the time they're in fifth grade, they've already engaged in some sort of sexual activity. Fifth grade. And all of them have heard. Oh, she says all of them. I mean, I can tell you about the last school year in Clayton County High School, six students were shot and killed. Six students in one school year, in one county. I mean, this is what's going on in the world. I can tell you about the junior in high school who was telling me and confessing and asking for help and prayers because she was being sexually abused, her mother sexually and physically abused, her grandmother sexually and physically abused at the same time. Three generations at the same time, they're all dealing with abuse. That's the hate, that's the field that Satan is having out there in this world. But then we have hope. People like Jamal, who is 18 years old, who at this time last year was suffering the consequences of his sin, gotten kicked off the basketball team. His relationship with his mom was strained. Sin had hurt so many people around him. And then he was baptized. Family fun day, he was baptized. And he made such a radical change, his whole family came to see this. They said, we got to come check this out. But he's a new man. He's a new man. He's learning. He's growing. He went on to graduate high school, started college, still continues to mentor the high school basketball team. Right? His relationship with his mother is probably better than ever, and now he's helping his friend RJ to become a disciple. Man, it's amazing. We have the hope. We have the word. We have the power through God, and this church is making an eternal impact that will affect generations to come. All God needs is one person to step out and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, to break the strongholds that Satan has on so many families. We saw that last week. When Ryan and Sam were baptized, amen? And we'll get to see it again today as Ashley gets baptized. We met Ashley for the first time at Kavi's memorial service. She was dating one of Kavi's best friends. And I remember at his funeral in Dallas, that we sat at the table together and just got to know her, and the sisters have stayed in there with her. She got a chance to move back here to Atlanta. She was at midweek last Thursday night, and as was we were, the sisters had studied with her on Thursday night, and we were the last ones to leave, me, Jazz, Jamal, and a few others, and we were turning off the lights, and Jamal, go in there and turn off the lights in the sanctuary. He comes out looking a little crazy, and we're like, and then all of a sudden, Ashley walks out of the sanctuary. He was like, I was wondering what that was. Ashley was in there praying to God. She said, there's just sometimes I just got to put my face to the ground and just pray to God. And I was so inspired, so inspired. And you know, this is the crazy thing. This is the crazy thing. Well, one, I got to confess. I said, but today, you know, because I didn't know she was getting baptized today. I knew she was getting close. I said, I'm not going to share about Kavi because I share about him every Sunday. I keep talking about Kavi. And Kavi's like, no, you're going to share about me today. You said long live Kavi, right? And sure enough, Vision Sunday, and really, we talk about Kavi. If anybody embraced the vision and the mission of the path, it was Kavi. And Kavi's like, oh, yeah, you'll see my fruit on Vision Sunday. Now, you want to hear something crazy? Many of you know that, you know, Kavi and Jazz share the same birthday. Ashley and Taylor share the same birthday. It's only God. I mean, I was crying on the way in here. I ain't going to lie. I'm like, oh, it's always on the way to church. Lord, help me get it together. But it's so amazing what God is doing. No, we asked you to think about your fondest memories, and we asked the leaders when we got together for our leaders' workshop what those were. Keegan shared about the A&E conferences. He shared about they shared about Fashion on Fire. Jazz shared about performing with Broken. People were sharing about, Taylor shared about her amazing husband that she found through the campus ministry. Catrice shared about the late and great Jody Lewis, who is one of our worship leaders. Melissa shared about when she had her children and how many people just wrapped their arms around her and fed her and would just come by to hold the baby so she could take a nap. That's community, right? Food, she said food was coming every night. Several people shared about the sold-out campus ministry, the baptisms in God's garage, just faith-building adventures and building a solid foundation that prepared us for the storms of life. We shared about making up songs together and sold-out songs. Then we shared about having church services at Georgia State and at Morehouse. We had over 100 people at church, at Georgia State. I mean, it was amazing. We've had some incredible, incredible memories. Now, I want you to think about those memories, those things that you wrote down, the things that were important to you, and I want to ask you this. What if the Pattersons had not answered the call to create the path 11 years ago? You know, I think about movies that, like Back to the Future, where when you change something, the memories erase. Look down at that, and those would be erased. Those would be deleted from your phone if the Pattersons didn't answer the call. But we don't have to worry about that because they did, and we have had such an amazing decade with so many incredible victories, challenges along the way, but we are here and we are moving forward. Amen, church? Now the question is, what will our children remember from the next 10 years? What will be the memories that they make through the path, how they came to know God? In order for this to happen, to create churches that mobilize the next generation, we need your help. We need your help. So what is the need of the hour? Well, we got to be spiritual. We got to preach the word wherever we go. We got to continue to grow, right, and continue to serve, all the things we talked about that. But there's one thing that I want us all to embrace and really pray about and contribute to. We need a new home. The family needs a home. And we need a hub. We need a facility, a central and consistent place so that we can create the space we need to mobilize the next generation. We need a hub, a space for training so that we can send out urban missionaries across this city. So I hope and pray that you'll think and consider about how you can give sacrificially to make this happen. We started a new fund called the Vision Fund. And part of the Vision Fund is to be able to have a new home, a consistent place for us to meet. And thank God, through our partnerships, as we shared at the congregational meeting, we've already been able to put $15,000 into that Vision Fund just to get us started. And I want to encourage you, think and pray about it. You know, for us, since we started talking about this, this is crazy. We started doing these surveys last year when we thought we may get kicked out of here because there was transition in the schools. And we started sending out surveys. Okay, what do we want to do? And an overwhelming response, yes, we need our own facility. We need our own space. We've been nomads. And it's been fun. It's been a ride. But we want to be able to just build somewhere, right? And from that moment, God said, I want you to lead the way in sacrifice. That's what he said. I said, okay. He said, and then he gave me a number. He said, I want you to give this much, $2,000. You know, when God does that to you first, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm like, oh, I don't know about that, Lord. That's a lot of money. $2,000 to give to the church? That's a lot of money, God. We already gave our special contribution. We give sacrificially already. I said, honey, I think this is what God wants us to do. And she was like, okay, she is the more spiritual one. But let me tell you what happened. Over the last few months, we were able to raise close to $4,000, to save up close to $4,000. And then my wife, being the spiritual one, goes, honey, why don't we just round it out to five? Five? Honey, we're already? And, you know, it's not easy to put that stuff out there. And so I shared that with the leaders. I'm like, I don't want to put that out there. And I did. I said, we're still praying about how we're going to get that extra thousand or so dollars to be able to give and fulfill that. But we're going to trust God. Man, a few days later, our family got a gig that gave us that extra $1,000 to give $5,000 to this Vision Fund. Just like that, a few days later. So I want to challenge you to match our sacrifice. And I want to challenge you to give with the faith that says, God, I want to give you this, but I know you can double that. I know you can triple whatever I put in my heart or whatever you put in my heart to give to you. Let's see what God does as we put our faith in him. And I notice I say match our sacrifice. It may not be financially for you. Maybe there'll be some other ways to serve when we get in there, to be able to work on the decorations, to work, whatever it may be, right? To be part of different committees, different teams, right? If you're trying to grow in your finances, we are offering a way to be able to do that. If you need to get out of debt, I really want to give, but I have all these bills and I haven't done a great job. We have Financial Peace University that's starting in March. So you can get out of debt and be able to give and experience that joy and that excitement that God wants us to experience. But more than anything, we want to take this to God. And I want to close out with this scripture in Ezra chapter 8. We want to take this to God. We want to take our vision to God. We want to take that we're asking God for a new home. We're going to take that to God. Ezra chapter 8. We've been talking about this time in history where God allowed the people, to return home from the exile. And Zerubbabel, he led the first wave of people to Jerusalem, but some stayed behind. Then Ezra was called by God. God gave Ezra the vision to lead the second group of people. And then Nehemiah later on would lead the third group of people. But Ezra, God just blessed it. The king gave him everything he needed for the trip and the journey, all the resources he needed. And so here they are ready to take this journey. And we read in verse 21, here we were by the Ahava Canal. I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, the next generation, and our goods as we traveled. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, Our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. Ezra proclaimed the fast to humble ourselves. We ask God for a safe journey, our children, our possessions, all of that. He says, you know what? I had told the king that God is real. I had told the king that God would protect us. I had told the king that, you know what? We'll be good on this journey because God takes care of his people. So I was ashamed to ask him for help because I had already told him God would take care of us. You know, Ezra put himself in a position and the people where they had to be totally dependent on God. We got to put ourselves in that same position. And God, only this can only happen through you. So we are going to fast, we are going to pray, and we are going to see incredible miracles along the way. Now, I want to give us some specific prayer requests as we go into these 3 days of fasting. I want to give us some specific prayer requests that you can write down, take a picture of the slide, and consider praying about some of these things. So our vision and our mission as a church, our new home, as we spoke about, please pray for the leadership of this church. We need all your prayers so we can have the wisdom that we need, the faith, the strength to not only dream, but to execute the things that God has put on our hearts. Please pray for us. Healing and repentance. Some of us, there's some things we got to heal from. There's some serious hurts and pain and wounds in our past, right, that we got to heal from. And so healing, and there's some things that we just may need to repent of. Some of us, there is sin that is entangling us, and we just cannot let that go. We have not been able to let it go. We keep falling over and over again. Pray about repentance. Pray about God to deliver us from those strongholds, right? Pray about salvation. Maybe it's for you. Maybe you're thinking about getting right with God, and you're praying about, God, please help me. I want to go to heaven. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Or maybe it's about your family and friends. I don't know about you, but my prayer is for my whole family to be in heaven together. That's my prayer. So I'll be fasting about that. And also, I want you to pray for the Balderas family. This is a special prayer request. I want all of us to write this down and all of us to pray about this. They're going through some serious challenges with immigration right now, where Miguel, it looks like he may have to leave pretty soon in the next month. And so what we are asking for and what the Balderas family is asking for is prayer. Prayer just for the strength to get through this challenging time, but also for God's will to be done. And we want to put it out there that in however God does it, that Miguel will be able to stay. If it's his will, it's his will. The way I pray, I was praying for them. I said, God, if there is some spiritual battle going on, trying to take Miguel somewhere else, please, God, please let your angels come in. Rouse your angels and listen to our prayers so that he can get a chance to stay. But we want what's best for them. And sometimes we don't know what's best for them. And we don't know what his will is at the time. So we will always surrender to that. But I don't know about you. If my wife was going to have to go, I'm going to want her to stay. And your will be done. Yes, but I want her to stay, God. What do you want? You know, Jesus asks us that. Let's pray for Miguel to be able to stay here in Atlanta with his wife and with us as a church. These are real needs. Needs that we need to cry out to God about. And I believe we will see him do amazing things. We will see him make a way out of no way, and we will see him move mountains. Let's pray for our communion. Dear God, as we take this time to remember your son, Jesus, we know that it's only because of him, only because of his sacrifice, only because of his death, burial, and resurrection that we can have a relationship with you. God, we know that it's only because your vision to reconcile us to yourself, God, that we can have a relationship with you. We know that it's only because Jesus decided to be a missionary, to go, come here to earth, to die for us, Lord, that we can even be here and rejoice with you, God. We are humbled by your love and your grace. We ask you that during this time as we take communion, that you will purify our hearts, God. God, that you will fill us with gratitude, Lord, and give us the inspiration to continue to move forward in our walk with you. We place these prayer requests before you, God. As we fast and we humble ourselves and we cry out to you, God, we pray that your will be done. God, modify our plans if need be and magnify our plans, Father. God, we don't know. We're doing the best that we can, God. But I pray that you will unite us as a church, God, to be able to do incredible things for you, God. We know that for us and all disciples around the world, that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.